Scorpions Avenue.
Lady Bunny, how are you?
Oh, Bunny! Bunny! Oh, I'm so excited! Oh, my goodness! How are you?
I'm doing very well. Did you take your medicine today, bitch? What's wrong with you?
I took a little bit of an edible, but...
What kind of edible do you like? Like a chocolate or a cookie or brownie? What kind of edible is it?
Well, they're not... No, I like the small candies because I don't really want to eat all that brownie. I mean, I do want to eat it, but after I have them. But no, just a gummy.
Can you give us an endorsement of what brand that you
yeah,
find works
I'm
for
looking
you?
At it. It's called Kanha, K-A-N-H-A. And they, I don't, you know what? I have always smoked weed since I was like 13. I prefer to eat it now and that it's available, but I never knew anything about weed. I never knew sativa versus indica or cared. I told the drug dealer, I want the strongest kind.
That Kush.
Yeah, whatever. I mean, now they've got all this hydroponic, but anyway,
What the hell is hydroponic? I'm so late.
Well, hydro is water, so it's a way that they grow it with that made it extra strong. But there was now before the edibles, we were getting some actual weed that I would smoke, and maybe it was Kush, maybe it was hydroponic, but it was so strong. And I only, because I don't love to smoke weed, I just like to get high. I would take just one hit. Girl, I thought I would be on acid. Like, I wouldn't even consider another hit for 4 hours. So there was a rumor that they were lacing it with LSD or something. I don't even know if LSD would burn and have the same effect. But, you know, I was thinking the other day, I mean, because there was a time when I was out in clubs, rambling, drunk, you know, working all 3 different clubs in one night, snorting coke, taking ecstasy, whatever. I am so horrified. I'm so glad that's pretty much over because I'm so horrified by all this fentanyl-laced drugs. I mean, what kind of an asshole dealer do you have to be to put something in there that would kill them?
Yeah, the fentanyl thing is wild, and I'm happy I don't do stuff that will that the fentanyl. Like, I don't do cocaine. I don't do stuff that fentanyl frequents.
Well, yeah, I mean they mix it up with the cocaine, or you know. Well, I hear they're doing Special K again now, but then I also thought I saw Australia is legalizing mushrooms. No.
Oh, yes. Let me tell you something. I found this fucking dispenser in California that has a variety. When I say a menu of mushrooms, and like they have them all in like individual things, and it tells you like what's in how many milligrams, blah, blah, blah. Psilocybin is not legal in the state of California, but this dispensary, it's one of those dispensaries you have to know someone to tell you about it. Mm-hmm. And it is everything. These motherfucking mushrooms. I was in the studio about 3 weeks ago. My writing partners and I, they came down to LA and we wrote like the last three records for my album. Mm-hmm. And we did some mushrooms together and it was great. They were gag because they were really scared. Right? They were like, girl, I don't want to do mushrooms. I don't want to take some mushrooms and I walk off a building. I'm like, that is not true. Like, I do not know anyone who has ever done mushrooms or acid. And the government, like, I used to see all these old...
there is a kind of mushroom that will make you walk off the ceiling, and I'd like to give you some. to walk. Now, back in the old days, the fear of acid, yep. It was on yep. that you would think you could fly and run up, jump out your window.
That is not true. So we did some mushrooms, and they were like, oh my God, this is not what I expected. I'm like, yeah. Like, it just makes you, I describe psilocybin as, it makes you like, well, there are different strains, like there is weed. And we had one that was specifically for music. And so it gives you like a little synesthesia. You start like seeing sound as color, and you just like appreciate, like your appreciation for music goes up like 1,000%. And like all types of sound just feel really good, and it just really makes you appreciate music. And they were really gagged at how fierce it was.
And that was the day that you helped RuPaul write Ru-sponsa-tranity.
I wonder RuPaul, they should do a musical about RuPaul's life. And
without her music.
No, it had to use her music, but you'd be in there because you're such a big part of RuPaul Charles's life.
Whose?
Yes. Well, we're gonna get into the headlines as our producer is pushing us in a direction. So, do you want to say anything before we get to the headlines, Bunny?
No. Has your show opened in Minneapolis?
Oh yeah, my show has opened in Minneapolis. We had opening night on Saturday the 4th, and it was amazing.
Oh, you canceled?
No, I did the show, and it was amazing, buddy. That's why it was amazing, and it was really great. Very, very, very great response. The audience really got into it, and I'm having such a great time. If you are in the Midwest area, or you can fly in from not the Midwest area, we have 3 more performances on the 9th, 11th, and 12th over in Minneapolis, Minnesota, at the Minnesota Opera. Just go to mnopera.org, and you'll see all the details there.
Well, I'll be in San Francisco this weekend at Oasis, which I love performing at. And the show is called The Greatest Ho on Earth. It's this Friday and Saturday. And I think it's at 7 p.m. Just go to sfoasis.com, I guess what the thing. And my country cousin, Natalie, is coming on Saturday. Oh. And she's never really seen me perform.
Country cousin Natalie.
Well, she lives in she lives in whatever that wine country, Napa.
A Napa.
Yeah.
Or Sonoma.
One of them. She married well.
Oh. Okay. So your cousin Natalie married well. Is she moved to San Francisco or in that area? Is she a crazy liberal like you? Are you the two? Well, you know, you're from a whole Quaker family.
She's not from that side of the family. She's from my mother's side of the family. She's a little bit more, she's from North Carolina, and that side of the family was really interesting, and I shouldn't go into too much family stuff because it's fascinating to me, but because sometimes people look at me and think, what the fuck did that come from? And so when they actually meet my mother, you know, or somebody that to where they can see that I actually grew up in a house.
Oh yeah, people think that you were made in a lab. You don't seem like a real person, especially online.
Right. So
I've met you, and I still have my doubts.
Well, at any rate, I look forward to San Francisco this weekend, and I don't know where I'm going after that, but we'll discuss it later.
Definitely not the news.
Did you see the Grammys last night?
Yes. The Grammys were on and popping on CBS, the Grammys. And it was a very big night. People are saying it's the blackest Grammys we've had in a very long time.
Okay.
And I'm not sure why. Again, I don't. It has been since what, high school, since I've ever watched like an award show like on TV. I just go on social media and I see like the greatest hits. Like I see like who won the categories you all care about. And I didn't even see any performances. The only performance I know were Lizzo and Harry Styles. I don't know who else performed.
Yeah.
Oh, it was a hip hop tribute. That's what it was.
Honey, Busta Rhymes took that shit from everybody but Nelly with his cute self and big dick in a tracksuit. I mean, who cares about the music?
Yeah, I saw Nelly was there. I knew Nelly was there because Mo Hart did the red carpet at the Grammys and she posted a picture with Nelly. And I was like, wow, in heels, Nelly and her were the same height. I thought Nelly was going to be one of these like TV hotties who he looks 6'4" in pictures, but in real life, he's like 5'2". He was the same height as Mo Hart in heels. And Mo Hart and I are the same height. So that gives me a lot of hope.
So he's taller.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Okay. He's he's a healthy St. Louis boy.
He is.
Anyway, I thought that was fun. I mean, Busta Rhymes killed it though. He did like this fast paced.
He's so good at that.
Yeah, I mean, it was absurd. It was. I mean, look. Now at one point, this is completely confusing to me. We heard. By Missy Elliott, and she
is your feminine Poflaniak.
She came out, but she's lost like tons of weight, she had her face covered, and all the dancers were dressed like her. So I was thinking, when is Missy coming out? And then I realized that's her in the middle. So I mean, why would you lose all that weight and then cover your face? I don't get that.
Well, like her face was covered. Now I'm going to look this up. Her face was covered like for her whole performance?
Well, half of it, the bottom half of it was, kind of like a, you know.
Because, you know what it was? We all know a lot of these motherfuckers are anti-vaxxers. She's probably like, bitch, I'm not fucking around with y'all anti-vaxxing hoes. She was probably, oh, I see the outfit. She's probably like, y'all don't like to get vaccinations. That's your business. I'm coming here COVID safe.
Well, yeah, I mean, I couldn't say, but I mean, I think that if she had come out and everyone knew it was Missy, because they didn't announce the different acts, and they had them for, going back 40 years, but they didn't, they didn't announce the acts. Well, actually, they went back as far as Run DMC. They didn't do, Yeah, but they didn't do Sugar Hill Gang, Rapper's Delight, or any of that. They did Run DMC and Flava Flav was about as. Flavor Flav
was there too?
No, is it Flavor Flav? Was he part of Public Enemy? I don't know. Don't get me talking about rap. But anyway, I don't know what I don't. I wish Missy could have had a bigger moment to where it was like, wow, everybody, this is Missy Elliott, and there would have been like a spontaneous. Right. Can you believe? Because I mean, the weight loss is shocking.
Yeah, it's very shocking.
Had I not seen a photo of her, like a studio beauty portrait, looking thinner, like the neck and the face, I would have said, I guess they just had dancers do her segment because she was, rapping with her mouth covered. Now, I'll tell you one weird thing that I noticed and that I've seen other people notice as well is that I thought it might just be the TV in my hotel. But I saw others mentioning that the sound was poor.
The sound was poor at the Grammys?
Yeah, and I'm like, so this is the best of the best of the recording artists, and you're going to give us live sound that is like muddy with indistinguishable. Yeah.
Well, I know J-Lo was there, and now for a while, everyone was talking about J-Lo doing like a Whitney Houston thing. Was this supposed to be at the Grammys? Did social media pressure J-Lo not to do this Whitney Houston tribute or song?
Well, one would hope so if social media wants to maintain any of its validity. Because, honey, J-Lo can't sing her own damn song. She lip syncs. So, yeah, don't sing a Whitney Houston song. Now, everyone knows that you wouldn't be singing it. You don't have that kind of range.
Oh, now she doesn't have the not Bunny evoking Gen Z lingo. She doesn't have the range. Wow.
Anyway, I thought, I mean, come on, give me good sounds, you know.
Yeah, I agree. There were some very big moments last night. Viola Davis became an EGOT last night after winning a Grammy for the storytelling and recording of her memoir, Finding Me, a memoir, which was very dope. Yes. Your favorite.
And just in case people are listening from outside the country, an EGOT is an Oscar,
Emmy, Grammy, Oscar, Tony.
Okay, so she's got all four.
Okay. Yeah, Viola Davis. So like some people, I think Whoopi Goldberg is definitely an EGOT. Who else is an EGOT? I believe not Meryl Streep, huh? I'm gonna tell you right now.
I don't know if she would have an
Emmy. Some famous ones are Tim Rice, John Legend. John Legend is an EGOT? Yeah, 2018. Alan Menken, Jennifer Hudson just became an EGOT recently, too.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, Audrey Hepburn, Richard Rodgers, Helen Mays, Rita Moreno. Yeah, she's an EGOT as well. Yeah. Wow, I did not know John Legend was an EGOT. That seems so random. What did he get a Tony for?
I don't remember. Did he write some soundtrack?
Probably wrote or produced something. Yeah. Yeah. Anyway, so
honey, I saw him in Miami one time, getting out of a limo van with several hot girls staying at my same hotel.
Oh, really?
And let's just say that. Nelly on the Grammys was not aroused, but John Legend sure was.
Well, there's this famous video of him, John Legend, at a show years ago, and he brings some girl on stage, and she starts dancing on him, and, like, his dick gets a little hard. You can see, like, John Legend. It's not, like, a fully erect dick, but it's, like, a chub, and I was like, it's a thick old chub, honey. I said, oh.
Right. Okay. Then he sings, all of me, take all. All of me, and I'll split you in two.
He is so beautiful, and him and his beautiful wife Chrissy and those fucking kids, like, John Legend is fucking hot.
Chrissy's face exploded like Madonna's, who looked awful. She looks ridiculous.
Chrissy Teigen or Madonna?
Chrissy!
No, she doesn't.
She went overboard. I mean, at least she's, you know, she always had prominent high cheekbones, but, Madonna is giving you an E.T. phone home.
Oh, my God.
Somebody tweeted, Madonna looks good for her age if her age is 2,700-year-old vampire who eats babies and small animals alive.
Oh, my God. Yeah, people love coming from Madonna, girl. Madonna, listen, if she likes it, I love it. Good for her.
Yeah, I mean, I feel the same way, but look, you know, we're going to talk about Beyonce's fans being, you know, very gung-ho on their diva.
Yeah.
But Madonna's fans were that of... my generation, although actually my generation is older, so that would be Diana Ross, you know, something like that, Donna Summer, Cher. But anyway, you know, I think Madonna should do whatever she wants also, but I'd read this article that was like, you know, I have never seen the ageist, stuff about, ageist stuff like what's about Madonna. And I'm like, so, okay.
They've never seen the ageist stuff about Madonna? What does that mean?
Just if they're snarky and they're bashing her because of her age. Well, no, they're not all bashing her because of their age. They're bashing her because she obviously does not feel good getting older and has pumped her face, lips, and cheekbones to where, you know, if you can see her cheekbone from behind her. I mean, she was always pretty, and I don't know if she had little tune-ups done over the years. I mean, most do, even the gorgeous, gorgeous J-Lo. But she never changed her features. She never changed her her cheeks or her lips. You know, she just went with what she had and would do a different sound. At any rate, I think Madonna's the one that has problems with herself being old. But it's, don't ask me how I know, it's difficult to be known for your beauty and sex appeal and youth. No, because when the youth...
You can ask me, Bunny, I'll tell you.
When the youth fades, you know, part of the reason why people liked you is gone. And also the kind of people who liked Madonna, some of them liked her because she was so fierce. You know, they may not necessarily be music heads, or they liked her music pretty much, or, you know, whatever. But they, you know, there's a certain type that are like, oh, no, I've always loved Madonna. But now that she's looking old, or her arms looking wiry, and you know, she's a Leo like me. Sometimes we our bark is louder than our bite, and we're actually very sensitive. So it seems to me that she is the one who cannot take, you know, getting older, and it's possibly due to the snark from her own fans. But then there's others that will defend her. As you say, it's her face. But there's also something that we know about Michael Jackson, that we know about Lisa Rinna, to where stars are they're surrounded by yes people. And see, I didn't say yes men. See, I'm being gender.
Well, what about,
non-specific. So they have yes people around them, you know, to never question them. If they question them, they get fired. And then they've got surgeons who they can pay any amount of money to keep doing these procedures. Madonna looks ghastly.
But that's your opinion, though. Also,
it's in a lot of people's opinion. I mean, they're sharing.
Also, but people have opinions about Madonna's face. If Madonna likes looking that way, why do we care? If Madonna wants to look like, to in everyone else's perception, warped or whatever, why do we care? She's waking up in the morning looking at her mirror like, bitch, I like how I look. I like my ass. I like my face. I like my cheekbones. She doesn't care. Why do we care?
I think she does care. I think she is trying to hide her age. And you know, whatever she's doing, whether you like it or not, she's not aging gracefully. She now looks Asian.
I mean, I think that, to your point, I said when you do a lot of these surgeries, you do a little threshold that you may be a little unrecognizable to old pictures of yourself, and it is a difference. But I think also Madonna's like, oh yeah, I see that, and work. I look young. I think I like how I look. So I don't. And Madonna has always been I don't give a fuck what people think. Like, she was always pushing boundaries. She was always.
I think this is totally the opposite. I think she cares what people think, and she's desperately trying to you know, recapture her youth, and there's no one to tell her no. So, I mean, it's quite freakish. I mean, you're being very diplomatic, but it's certainly, you know, that the word is out there that she looks terrible.
I know people say that, but I know that people do say that, but I as someone who's an advocate for plastic surgery, I think people should get as much or as little plastic surgery as they want. Live your life. You only have one fucking life to live. Who cares? And yes, Madonna may look a little different, but I think that when Madonna wakes up, she looks in the mirror and she's like, I like how this looks. She's like, I know it's not how it used to look 40 years ago. I have 40 decades worth, I mean 40, four decades worth of music. I know it's not exactly how I looked in 1983, but so what? I like it.
Okay, well, that may be what she's thinking, but she also may be thinking, you know, I don't like being laughed at and mocked.
But Madonna puts herself out there. Madonna is posting these Instagram reel videos. Madonna is going on Terry Joe's TikTok live with her. It looking like without all these cameras and stuff, just her iPhone, like she is putting herself out there to be observed. So if she was one of those celebrities like Selena Gomez, who did not want that attention, then they wouldn't get it. But Madonna is actively putting herself in like trendy places on the internet, like on TikTok, with people like Terry Joe, intentionally.
Yeah, but maybe that just means that she hasn't had a hit in a long time and she's desperate. I mean, look at Britney with smeared eye makeup and dancing around looking crazy. I mean, you know, this is like a real desperation. It's like when you need the attention.
But Britney doesn't need the I think Britney is doing it of her own fruition. This girl has been through all this crazy stuff. And she's like, bitch, how old is Britney now? Britney's like 45 or 40. She's like, at this point in my life, bitch, I don't give a fuck. I'm going to get on my phone in my living room, in my panties and my bra and my smeared makeup, eye makeup, wherever she may be mentally with mental illness, whatever it is. She's like, I don't give a fuck. I'm doing me. And people can say what they want. I don't care.
Well, she did give a fuck, though, because she kind of disabled the, you know, comments. And it's like, look, it's a different situation.
People are mean,
but that's why we go online for snark. And, you know, comedians are mean and whatever. But don't you think that for someone who was in a conservatorship to be out there looking kind of crazy? I mean, she was holding up an apple by her head in one picture. And I was like, I just don't get it. I don't know what is going on.
But to be fair, we don't know what Britney, again, we don't know what medicines Britney takes, whatever. And I think that just like you and I, I'm not going to say you because you clearly are not aware of all your faculties, but just like you and I have the liberty and freedom to go to just take our iPhones right now and you can tweet whatever you want. I can tweet whatever I want. I can post whatever picture I want. Just because Britney may not be in the same mental space doesn't mean that she cannot be afforded the same luxuries of doing those things too. Now, they might not be what post.
I'm not trying to say she shouldn't be able to do them, but what it looks like to a lot of people, including me, who isn't really that interested, is that she's melting down and that it is very, very unfortunate.
I mean, I disagree. I think that since the ending of her conservatorship and something she said publicly, to me, she sounds more with her faculties. Like when she's talking about her kid and like all that stuff going on with her sons, she sounded fully aware of everything she was saying. She sounded so clear.
Okay. Well, sometimes people who are clear at some points take stuff that makes them less clear at other points.
Mushrooms
that you write music to, and edibles that I nibbled before this podcast.
Nibble, bitch, swallow, girl.
Okay, well, you know. Madonna introduced Kim Petras and Sam Smith.
And they won for a best pop duo and group for their song Unholy, which makes Kim Petras becomes the first transgender person to win in this category.
Yes. And also, Honey Dijon, a New York City who now lives in Berlin.
Chicago. She was in Berlin?
She's from Chicago, but she lived in New York for many years, and it was a great person. Produced something, and so she won she won the other trans.
Okay, I didn't know that. And then Kim Petras tweeted after that, oh my God, I'm a tranny with a Grammy.
Yeah, she was with me, she would say I'm a tranny with a granny. She says she was with a Grammy because she just won one. Well, you know, I love that because it shows that, you know, she's a trans person, you know, successful role model, and that she's kind of having fun with a harmless rhyme, but many people would say that, you know, even a trans person shouldn't say tranny, even though I know trans people that have said that for so long. You know, I don't know. So
they say that to black people too. There's black people think, oh, black people shouldn't say the N-word. Bitch, fuck you. I'll say whatever I want. Go ahead.
Right. I mean, well, yeah. I mean, it's just Gottmik, for example, says, I don't care whether you call me he or she. And and a lot of trans people have a wicked sense of humor. And before the end of the tour that I went on with Gottmik, I was was going to the stage, and it was like the second last number in the second show that we had done, and she doesn't care, so it didn't matter. He busts out of the trailer that he's in, dressing room trailer, and said, "Get on the stage, fag." And it was just so perfect because we were all tired. And, you know, I just thought, I mean, I love that she has, he has the freedom to say stuff like that. But I thought Kim was really good on stage. She was also really good in another award ceremony. Was it the Grammys already last year when she put out Throat Goat?
Her album Slut Pop.
Yeah, I don't know if she was performing stuff from that, but they kind of put her on the side stage. Yeah, we talked about the Grammys that year, and I was so mental that I watched the other Grammys, the ones that no one cares about. But they had, it was Saucy Santana was out on that little auxiliary stage with Kim. Yeah. And so at least she got on the big stage, and she's a good performer. I thought Sam seemed a little stiff.
Oh, Sam Smith?
Yeah.
I didn't see the performance. I didn't even know.
Well, I guess this song is called Hyper Pop.
Yeah. I don't know what that means.
Well, it's a tech heavy. They did a shout out to Sophie, a UK trans woman who passed away. Who was considered one of the geniuses of hyperpop. But let me tell you one thing and why I never really looked into it. It rarely has any soul. And, it's a trendy new thing. I mean, I don't know what the big hits of hyperpop would be, but this song is considered like the coming of age or the gentrification of hyperpop. Unholy, that song.
Gentrification of hyperpop.
It's gone away from its funkier roots. I don't mean funky because it's not funky. It's gone away from its more authentic roots. And now Unholy is a pop song that is hyperpop based. And I think, I have to say, listen, Violet Chachki was there. Gottmik was there. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And
I think they're in the music video.
They are.
Yeah.
And the music video is certainly something to sing if you live under a rock and have not heard it. It's about, the video is about a straight-laced guy going to see a hooker who ends up being trans.
Oh, I didn't see the video. Interesting. Yeah,
and so it's like this it's an interesting video, but I have to tell you, I know I'm supposed to be feel good that I'm represented and all this. I would rather be represented. I would be more, as a music lover, I would be more represented as a music lover than as a gay drag queen. As a drag queen, that I would be by that song and Sam Smith doing it, because it is just it's they're trying to give Sam Smith an image that I don't think a lot of people are seeing him have. Now that song
so
when he started off, he was a voice, the voice of Latch, which Disclosure produced. They so released good. It was Disclosure, so good. And then he had that massive ballad Stay With Me.
Yeah.
Okay, both songs are full of yearning, soulful, bending notes. And then Unholy, the hook is da 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 da. I mean, it's just like, oh, it's like, you know, staccato, and there's no like held notes or anything. So give that song to Sierra. She can't sing like you. Don't, you know, they're trying to make him everybody's pop diva and give him all these, you know, looks. I preferred it when it was just a voice.
Well, see, but I disagree. I feel like artists can grow and change and do different stuff. Yes, Stan Smith put those records out and he enjoyed doing them, but he's also, how old is this motherfucker? Stan Smith is probably not more than 30. I know he's not more than 30. Mm-hmm. So he reserves the right to try doing pop songs. Maybe Samson put those songs out early before and he liked that, but now he's in a place where he wants to make more clubby dancing stuff. You know what I mean? I think that he's just trying to like try different things, and who knows, in 2 years he might go back to doing more ballad type songs, but he's just trying to like see what else he likes and make music representative of what he maybe listens to at the gym or what he listens to in his everyday.
He don't go to the gym, honey.
Oh my God! There are videos, there are pictures of Sam
Neither
Smith like
I.
out. There are pictures and videos of Sam Smith like out in the club in L.A. Sometimes, like out at the Abbey dancing. So like maybe he wants to be like Lady Bunny and stumble into the monster at 10 o'clock on a Sunday night and dance around. And he likes to, he wants to sing to some pop music doing that or listen to himself.
Okay, so why not sing with a wonderful? Latch was a dance song. I'm not trying to say that he or Madonna or Britney can't do what they want to do in terms of music. I'm just saying his voice was a great fit, according to my ear, when he was singing out. I think a voice like his, you know, which a lot of people love, is totally wasted on da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. What is that, like three notes? You know, I mean, hit a high note, you know, hold a note, give me something less monotonous. And I just think that anyone that can't sing can do that. So in my opinion, his voice is wasted on that. But what do I know? It was number one on Apple Music.
And he just won a Grammy for it. So trying stuff out.
But that doesn't mean that it's a lot of things.
A commercial success. Yeah.
Well, no, it is a commercial success, but it was number one. But I just, you know, hey, I hope he gets back to the stuff that I think his voice is better suited for. I'm sure he doesn't care what I think, but.
I mean, the biggest moment of the night was, fans are making it this now, the showdown of Beyonce versus over Harry Styles, because the big award of the night, everyone knows, is Album of the Year. To which, who was in the category? It was Beyonce,
Lizzo.
It was Adele, Lizzo, Harry Styles. And I think those were the four most notable ones, like the big ones, right? It went to Harry Styles, and the fans, now people are online getting upset. I should preface this by saying Beyonce made history last night as becoming the most winning and the most nominated artist in Grammy history. Which is a very big feat. Shout outs, kudos to motherfucking Beyonce, who is, as Lizzo quoted, the artist of our lives. And that may not be true for you. Beyonce is absolutely the artist of my life. I fucking love this bitch. And I know we haven't seen people react to an artist like they used to do MJ. Like Michael Jackson would go somewhere and people would literally faint, pass out, combust, hyperventilate, vomit, shit, poop on themselves because Michael Jackson.
Keep talking. I'm about to come.
Because Michael Jackson would just like be in their vicinity, right? But in my humble opinion, I genuinely think Beyonce is of that note. And I think that she deserves having the most Grammy wins of all time. And she won three different categories. She won what did she win, Jay? She won Best Dance Electric. She won Best Dance Song. She won Something of the Year and something else. And but she did not win the big one of the year, which is Album of the Year, which for the past 4 years she's been snubbed. She was snubbed by she was snubbed by Taylor Swift that year. Then it was by Brink or Drink.
Blink 160 or something?
No, Jay, who's the artist that's snubbed by? The white guy. Some white dude, and then she was snubbed by Adele, and then this Beck, and then she was snubbed by okay. So Beyonce lost. Let me not say snub. Beyonce lost first to Taylor Swift, then she lost to Beck, then she lost to Adele in the pandemic year, and then this year she lost to Harry Styles. And then so this whole thing, people are saying, well, it is racist that Beyonce lost to Harry Styles, which I don't agree with. I do not think it's a race thing. I really, really genuinely do not think so, but people are making it into a race war. Do you agree?
Do I think it's a race wore I think this is where so I was chatty about the Grammys earlier. I am such a weird faggot because I have never wanted to say to anyone, Patti LaBelle is better than Madonna. You know, I've never wanted to but this is like back in the day, it would happen sometimes, like, oh no, Donna Summer is better than Diana Ross. And so I'm like, you enjoy your music, I'll enjoy my music. I don't need to be validated by you. I don't need to, because there's so much music that has never been nominated for awards that I think is absolutely genius. I don't need to be validated by any how many Grammys somebody has, or if they have any. Like I say, most people wouldn't even be, you know, people argue over the Oscars online all the time, and they admit in their posts that they never even saw the movie. They just like Meryl Streep or whoever. Why does it have to be an either or? Why does it have to be, no, mine is the best? Well, because it's really, it could be.
Well, they are awards. You're awarding the best.
Okay, but so is the. I mean, a toy in a. But no, we're awarding what the NARA says is the best by whatever means of voting that they have. You know, I mean.
Okay, funny you say that. Let me. This is the criteria for it. So to win album of the year, according to the Recording Artist Official Awards Department guidelines, records must contain at least 5 different tracks and a total playing time of 15 minutes or a total playing time of at least 30 minutes with no track with no minimum track requirement. Okay, voters in this category are expected to consider the quality and artistry of the collection of tracks as a whole, and this Grammy is awarded to any artist, featured artist, songwriter, or new material producer. Blah, 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 blah. So they're looking for the quality and artistry
who are the voters, and why should I trust them? I don't need to know what their consensus is, so I certainly don't care. I mean, you know, I'll tell you the truth, I play your song there for you whenever I DJ. And you know, I don't think I told you this,
I'm your favorite artist.
No, but that is one of the best songs to come off of a drag race queen. So I was working on a Tommy Hilfiger campaign because I'm a 60-year-old plus size model. And what is his name? The guy from New Orleans. He's quite nice looking, black guy. Maybe short dreads. You know, he's like a jazz, like, no, he's not rap at all. He's, it's John, J-O-N Baptiste. Baptiste? You know him. He's huge. Anyway, his assist, I played that record at the shoot. Mm-hmm. And you know who else was there? Was that fool from In the Heights? Ooh, girl.
Lin-Manuel Miranda?
No, darling. The hot one that starred in it, who I got to lay down with in Proposition.
Oh, Anthony Ramos.
Oh, girl.
He's so beautiful.
Oh, my God. And so the John Batiste's assistant, a little black queen, came up and was like shazamming there for you.
Oh.
And I saw him, and he kind of like did I said, what is this? I said, this is Monet Exchange.
Oh, wow. Well, thank you, Bunny, for playing my music.
No, I would, to me, that song is more deserving of a Grammy than what any of those voters were. Did you see the part where they, Jay might know this, but they had like a part that I've never seen before where they like cut to different types of voters all like talking about it, and one was like a queenie gay who wanted ABBA to win.
You want ABBA to win Album of the Year?
Well, he wanted them to win, yes. And so, and then like, you know, an older, probably my age, a mousy woman wanted Harry Styles to win. So the MC let her do the announcement for Album of the Year. A black woman wanted someone else. They had someone who was in a wheelchair and, you know, two or three other people. And I was like, I don't even know what they're doing. Is this, are these like sample voters? I don't know who they are. Look, don't take away my gay card, but you wanted, I mean, I don't even think ABBA fans liked the last album. So is this the quality? Were these voters who they spotlighted? I mean, because what, I'm not really interested in their, definition of artistry.
Yeah, yeah. I don't personally know any recording academy people. I may, but they have never identified themselves to me. So I'm sure it's an eclectic group of people who choose this stuff. And again, had it been me voting, I listened to both albums, and I just personally think that Renaissance is a more superior album. But again, that's me, right? For what I like and my taste and my things. But apparently, more people who listened thought it was Harry Styles. So again, it is all subjective. You choose what you like, and that's what it is interesting though.
Can I suggest one thing? So mm-hmm. when you go to the Grammy Awards or mm-hmm. the Oscar Awards or the Grammy Awards or whatever, this is an industry shindig. You make more money if your Oscar-winning film that you directed, you get more money next picture. You get more money as an actress. You can be introduced for the rest of your life as Grammy Award-winning, you know, so-and-so, mm-hmm. and get a higher fee. This is how they get the stars to come out with all these, you know, even if they don't win anything, they can have the winning outfit. And, you know, it just becomes a big spectacle, but none of them are getting paid, and they're playing the game. They know what they're supposed to do. They know the cameras on them. I saw Jay-Z, you know, cheering for something LL Cool J was saying, who I would love to drop down on my knees and suck to the ground like an undercover clown. But they cut to Jay-Z and I mean, he was like almost like raging, like with happiness over something that was kind of this like, hey, good evening. You know, so they know they're on camera. You know, there's all these little mini tiffs about, you know, oh, what was Taylor Swift's reaction when, she saw that Harry Styles won. I'm like, so you're trying to go beyond Beyonce getting snubbed. But Lizzo, whether she likes Beyonce or not, realizes that she took a prestigious award, in some people's eyes, that people thought Beyonce should get, and that you know maybe she had to take it easy because Beyonce's fans heckled Harry Styles and yelled out Beyonce, and Beyonce should have won. And who did that a few years ago when Taylor Swift won, and people thought that's what everyone hates him now. Kanye West does so with Taylor Swift and said, hold on a minute. Let me interrupt for a minute.
Yeah, Taylor, I'm going to let you finish.
Yes.
But Beyonce, yeah.
So now are Beyonce fans on par with Kanye or Yeezer, right, or whatever it is today? Yay.
Yeah, I don't think this is racially charged. I think that, you know, the Beehive, Beyonce fans are known for being, I mean, when she did Becky with the Good Hair, they thought she was talking about that one white lady. They like ruined her life. She had to like leave the internet because the Beehive fucking bullied this lady into submission. She had to go into like the witness fucking protection program. So, you know, I also think people are being a little hyperbolic. I think people are just making memes and being. I've seen those memes too. It's like they've taken that thing of Kanye from that year, and they'll be like, and they post that quote from Avatar: The Last Airbender, when the world needed him most, he vanished. So I've seen that too, but I think they're just being silly and doing memes. I don't think they're legit saying, "Bro, Kanye is okay, bring him back." Yeah. Everyone should know also our producer Jay, he's a stylist. Like, he is a diehard Harry Styles fan. He literally would fucking go to Harry Styles concert and throw his panties at Harry's face. He is a stylist down. No, he's lying. He did not say he liked Beyonce. You said you like Harry. I did not hear you say you like Beyonce. When did you say that? I'm kidding. He does. He loves Beyonce as well.
I just, you know, as someone who, I'm not saying I'm the
hates
best.
Hates everyone?
Yeah, that too. As someone who is paid to go around and evaluate, you know, dance music, I don't understand. Different people like different stuff. I mean, I don't understand why.
Bunny, why do you hate black women? Why do you hate black women?
I don't.
Can you answer that question?
That's the one who I would want to win every one of the Grammys if I cared. I mean, that's what's filling up my iTunes besides Lynyrd Skynyrd.
Oh my God! Wait, we never talk because when the album first came out, you hadn't listened to the whole thing. Do you like Lemonade? I mean, Lemonade. Do you like Renaissance?
Well, I did call out "Cuff It" was going to be the hit.
You did,
if you recall. You did. I love "Cuff It." I listen. Nile Rodgers got an award for you that did,
for "Cuff It."
Yeah. So someone I know won one, and I still don't care. I hope
T.S. Madison. If T.S. Madison won a Grammy, bitch, we would know. I think she said she was grateful to be a part of a Grammy-nominated album.
Right. When it gets into, like, I mean, it's obviously as someone who doesn't even care about, you know, who wins. Like, so I just don't have that competitiveness in me. I mean, you know, the fans are so mean to each other. I mean, like, anyone that works with Dr. Luke is going to be pounced on by Kesha fans. One time, mm-hmm. Lizzo re-released, I think it was Good as Hell, with Ariana singing on it, and the Ariana people didn't think that the picture of Ariana on the single cover was big enough. And so they were having Lizzo, #Lizzo is over party. I mean, people, why are you so wrapped up in this? It's Jay and I were talking about, you know, how this sometimes happened with Drag Race queens and their fans, or, you know, Marsha happening right now. What kind of small mind? Don't get me wrong. There are artists that can make me cry that are the soundtrack of Nile Rodgers. Glad to see him recognized again for "Cuff It." The tears that have come out of my eyes listening to his music, listening to Patti LaBelle's music. That fool has cancer and is still going and is still getting sampled by everything. And you know who wants, you know why I love him so much? Because nobody is making the music today that they're going to sample down the line like Nile fucking Rodgers. They've taken dozens, even Rapper's Delight was a sample of "Good Times." "Mo Money, Mo Problems" was Diana Ross's "I'm Coming Out." I use that as my intro music. So I'm fine, Monet, if you say I worship Beyonce, or if Shangela says I will drop to my knees, I worship her so much. That doesn't bother me. I'm not going to argue just because I like some of Beyonce's songs or because I think my diva is better. I don't get that. It seems to be, I don't know if it's because, you know, most of the people I follow are in the community, but it does seem to be like my diva versus your diva. I remember when Gaga came out, some of the Britney fans were like, she's not pretty, and she can sing. And I was like, what?
Meanwhile, Gaga literally ushered a new way of, in terms of aesthetically, a new like a new type of pop. Like there is, I remember I saw this picture, this like little pop timeline, whatever. And there's this like harsh jump. Like after Gaga came out in 2008, like the style and the aesthetic of pop music literally changed after Gaga 2008. It's such a, and I never picked up on it because in 2008, what, I was 18? I you know, was not really
me
paying
too.
Attention to the, like, I wasn't paying attention like that. I was like, oh shit. I didn't realize how aesthetically influential Gaga was.
Yeah. I have a theory that we live through these artists. I mean, you should see the gays my age on Feces Book. Like I say, they don't even have, they have, you know, this is not the time when we used to see pretty much all of the movies in a genre that came out that year. I mean, but it is so intense, the things that people say. I mean, I don't know why it's so, why they live through it so much. And I, even though I don't, I only briefly had an office job, I understand that there is a
water, office job.
Oh, when I first moved here, I worked for a publisher with my sister. I'll tell you the story one day. They fired me right before I could have get benefits.
yeah.
It was, but anyway, I just don't understand why they have to live through it and get so involved with it that they're talking about, that they, I mean, they know who votes on this. Now, see, here's where it would be a race issue. And here's where I think it's great that Black artists are being recognized. I don't know the history of the Grammys and all the awards, but clearly, I'll bet, well, I mean, I know, we know Black people weren't getting as many movie roles at one point. So to see them not only get them, but to win plum roles and be awarded, that I can see as progress, you know, as something beyond just, you know, oh, another historic first. Because, you know, like you said, this makes Beyoncé win the most Grammys, you know, ever. And that doesn't mean that I like Listen anymore.
Did you like Listen?
The song Listen, that horrible ballad. You know, it's like, you know, I mean, yeah, it is a first, but this is, you know, I'm always trying to connect things. But when I see, especially gay people, like living through the challenges of Drag Race, and I'm not saying I don't want them to enjoy the show, but when they get so mean about it, like as if they, this is what it is, and I knew this from coming up with Madonna. They saw Madonna use homoerotic imagery in her sex book. She was the biggest pop star at the time, and it made them feel accepted by the top recording artist when not everyone was being so open about their queer base as Beyoncé was last night. So when you feel that intertwined with a celebrity, an insult to them is an insult to you. Except here's the catch. It's not an insult to you. And somebody else just feels differently about her. You know,
yeah.
Somebody thinks Madonna's face looks beautiful. I'll tell you this. She doesn't look old. But some people think she looks like she's gone overboard with the surgery. But when I see the number of posts and the number of articles, I'm like, if we could care about climate change, affordable insurance, any of the bullshit that we go on about. I mean, if we could apply any, I'm 60, so I'm not as twinkish or shallow as I was. So I used to be able to get into this, even though I never really did, but I'm like, could we focus on some, you know, these are, I wonder about that. You know, I mean, because there's a big thing that, oh, push the representation. Clearly, I'm in the one of the communities that needs to be represented more. But pedophile. No, just kidding. but I think that this focus on representation is sometimes being taken too far and above and beyond what it actually it represents. It represents something like Obama making people who are of color think I could become president, or, you know, Hillary Clinton almost becoming president thinking, you know, that a woman could break that glass ceiling. But sometimes this representation thing is used in a way that I don't like, because while yes, I am glad that someone is talented and not a sellout, as you know, as Viola Davis would become a coveted Emmy, Grammy, Oscar, Tony, you know, thing. But at the same time, and so yeah, there probably hasn't been that many or any black women to do it. And I know Lizzo was the first black woman to win the best. Was it the best record or album? What did she get?
She got a record of the year.
So I think yeah.
Nope. Yeah, record of the year. Yeah.
Right. So these are pluses. I will never say that they're not, and I cannot say what they mean to other people. But mm-hmm. when we need a $15 minimum wage and canceling student debt and all of the stuff that disproportionately affects black women, I'm asking this. Viola Davis is already rich. You know, I'd like to see, you know, so I'm glad that her EGOT status will cheer people up, but what would cheer them up more than, you know, a chicken in every pot, not having to scrimp and save, you know, I just, or not having to worry about, you know, someone like Tyree Nichols being killed by police. You know, I mean, I just think that there's so many things that we grab onto so tightly. And I think the media encourages it because it's all fairly shallow. And I just think if we could come together, say, Mama, what's important to you? What's important to you? Let's work on it. I think we could actually solve some problems which are not solved by the fun representation, which I'm not saying is not meaningful, because I'm not in a community. I'm in the white community. You know, I'm in the male community, technically. So, you know, I was always represented.
Well, the problem is, this is an American problem. Like, all these things that you complained about, these are problems that we have in America that they don't have in places like Sweden, like these other countries.
But they don't have black people in Sweden.
They don't have black people in Sweden. But they have things like black Medicare for all. They have, like, all these things. A lot of these issues that you're
talking
about.
Socialist-leaning.
Right. They have this stuff. So I think that Americans, maybe there is some correlation to Americans being so caught up with all this. I mean, but it's not just Americans, because this is the world. The world watches the Grammys, right? Whereas the world is not watching the Oliviers in the UK, but the world is watching the Tonys. So I do think it is a little different that way. But maybe there is some correlation to how we're so wrapped up in all this stuff. And at the same time, we're suffering in all these other areas, like police brutality, like no Medicare, like hunger here in America. Maybe there is a correlation that we can be better.
Yeah, I don't want to rain on anyone's escapism. And I'm not saying that everyone's every moment should be filled with deep meaning and causes, especially if you're young. I wasn't politically active until I was 40.
And now you're politically overactive. That's overactive,
right.
Honey.
That's right. But I just, you know, for the people on the left who are saying, this is so great because it's a black woman getting this, and it's a first, Beyonce the first, this was the blackest, you know, Grammy ever. I would love to say, many more black people can afford to go to college. Black people are no longer taking the brunt of COVID severe illnesses, sometimes because they do not have even a primary care physician. You know, mm-hmm. Mona Foote you know, black drag queen from New York who passed away very early from COVID, you know, was told she did not have insurance. She was diagnosed with COVID. This was very early on, before there was a vaccine or anything. And what they would tell you at that point is go home. And if you start like, come to the emergency room. Mm-hmm. So I just think that there are, I mean, I saw a little CBS clip on redlining, which is when they discriminate against housing, against black people, even if they have the same credit rating as the white people. Oh, yeah, it's crazy. So,
well, let's not talk about even how the fucking Credit Card Bureau is a fucking farce. And
I bet you they sponsor the Grammys and the Oscars.
Probably. Don't even get me started on how having good credit is such a stupid fucking concept in this country, and how it was made to fucking leave a lot of people back. Don't even get me the fuck started on that bullshit.
Well, I actually, not that I'm the most solvent person at all times, but I got my credit cards late because when I went, when I had a debit card, it wasn't called a debit card when I was young. It was, I don't know what it was called. I think it was a card. Anyway, I took all my friends out to eat dinner and bought all these clothes. And did an overdraft, so I was withdrawing money that I didn't actually have, and I had to work at a hideous Southern department store. Department store is glamorizing,
like a Macy's or a Sears.
No, like a Kmart or a Walmart.
It is a department store.
It's called Zayre, and I kept my name tag in case I ever get too big for my britches. I can look at that Zayre name tag and the. Yes. Oh my goodness. So, yes. Anyway.
Yeah. Well, Bunny, I think we have spent all our time talking about the Grammys, which means next week we really should talk about the other things, but we are over an hour.
Okay.
But I didn't, you know, I thought that you being inebriated would halt productivity here, but you know what, as per usual, you really make it makes you a better co-host, and I'm very happy when you're high.
I wasn't high last week and everyone said that I was. I wasn't.
Oh well,
so no, this week I am. Hey, and weed sponsors, fuck LaGanja, honey.
I know, get Lady Bunny.
I'll take the weed sponsors. Monet wants the hard shit. She's into illegal psilocybin. And Australia is also going to legalize MDMA, which is not the terrible Madonna album that didn't sell.
I mean, listen, yeah, people making fun of me. Watch. Psilocybin, just like weed got legalized here in many states, psilocybin is going to be the new thing. It is going to be the new frontier. And people are going to be fucking mega cajillionaires off of psilocybin. Watch. Mark my words.
Well, they're going to be they're getting rich off the weed in Colorado. The weed is making them so much money that they've lowered the taxes.
I know. Like, we should fucking do that nationwide. Anyway, that's a whole nother topic. Okay. Lady Bunny, you have a good rest of your week. I'll talk to you soon.
Bye.
Bye.
Guys, I will be at San Francisco's Oasis Friday and Saturday, the 10th and 11th, doing my new one-woman show, The Greatest Ho on Earth. Check out sfoasis.com.
And I am still here in Minnesota, y'all, freezing my tits off. So come see me sing beautifully at the Opera on the 9th, 11th, and 12th of this week. It's almost done, girl. Come out and see it. And Beaumont Beauty is officially available wherever you buy your makeup. Just kidding. It's only available on our website, BeaumontBeauty.com. So get me and Bob's first little palette into the beauty industry. It's fierce. And listen, it's so good, it can make Lady Bunny look beautiful. Okay? Now that is a testimonial that you guys needed to hear.
Oh. But... I am very, very... How did you come up with the name BOMO? It's so feminine chic and glamorous.
Uh-huh, BOMO.
BOMO.
BOMO Beauty.
Put your BOMO on, hobo. Put your... Bozo. It rolls off the tongue. Why not Bozo?
Because you're doing that one, right? Ooh. You and Bianca, your line of Bozo beauty.
I will suggest. Now, that bitch's makeup looked beautiful on the pit stop the other day with Mariah. And girl, you don't ever want to sit next to Mariah. That thing is so gorgeous.
A podcast network.